live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Donegal fishermen feel potential Brexit implication for the sector being continuously ignored around the negotiating table. A Donegal deputy has accused the government of hiding behind figures instead of tackling the growing child homelessness crisis. Andrea Branigan, the mother of Danielle McLaughlin, has hit out over lack of progress and promises made to her over a year ago by the Taoiseach. And a motorist has been caught speeding at 223 kilometres per hour in a 100 kilometre per hour zone in South Donegal. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15. But first in news, the European Commission President has warned British MPs there won't be another Brexit extension. It comes after the UK and EU reached a deal that still has to be ratified by the British Parliament. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe is in Brussels.
It's been a long and dramatic day in Brussels, maybe summed up by the frustration of Jean-Claude Juncker when he was interrupted at a press conference.
There will be no other prorogation.
I'm speaking.
I'm sorry.
The European Commission President's main point was there won't be a Brexit extension if the House of Commons doesn't accept this deal.
So you're actually going to say officially that you will rule out an extension?
Yes, we have a deal, so why should we have a prorogation?
It's part of a bid from the EU, including Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, to put pressure on MPs to accept the agreement.
I think really that's over to the Prime Minister at this stage. It's up to the members of the House of Commons now to decide whether they want a deal.
The EU effectively saying, we've done our bit, now Boris Johnson has to do his. It's not clear if it'll be successful, but Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin says that this deal could have worked for Theresa May.
One would have to ask the question if similar accommodation or maybe a lesser accommodation had been made with Theresa May, would we be in a different situation now?
As it stands, there's no agreement ahead of some pretty crucial votes in the House of Commons on Saturday. Sean Defoe in Brussels.
Well, Donegal fishermen feel potential Brexit implications for the sector are being continuously ignored around the negotiating table. It comes as tensions are already reportedly on the rise at sea, with further warnings that there will be severe disruption for fishermen in the county post-Brexit. Speaking on the 9 till noon show today, Inishowen-based fisherman Michael Kavanagh says the uncertainty surrounding Britain's exit from the EU is already having an impact.
The French are a very militant people. And even last week, the UK processors have come out and said that if there's a hard Brexit, our industry could close down within 48 hours because the French will not allow fish or anything to go through their country. Now, there's a big prawn fishery in off the Porcupine Bank, and the UK take part in it too. So it's, you know, it's not all one-sided. And the fishermen in Northern Ireland are going to have a problem with this, because a lot of them fish south in the Irish waters. The majority of people in Northern Ireland didn't want Brexit, and the majority of people, I think even the Scottish fishermen, there are a few that will be a bit militant about boats, and they're hoping to take their fish back and their waters back. I mean, normally we would keep 70% of our, or take 70% of our mackerel in the spring, and we would leave 30% for the autumn. But this year, because of the uncertainty of Brexit, we had to take all of our mackerel because we could end up not being able to catch it. But you see, all of those things we have set aside until Brexit is finished, because the common fisheries policy is going to have to be renegotiated afterwards. The UK becomes a coastal state, the same as Faroes and Iceland, and they'll determine then what they're going to catch.
Meanwhile, hundreds of people gathered at various border crossings in Donegal last night amid ongoing concerns over the potential impact Brexit will have on communities there. The demonstrations were organised by border communities against Brexit, with protesters holding candles and standing in silence as to highlight their opposition to what a potential deal may have in store. Councillor Jack Murray was at a well-attended protest in Bridgend. He says it's clear from the turnout that people will not tolerate the idea of a hard border.
A very, very strong message was sent from the border community that we will not tolerate or accept any strengthening of the partition of this island. It'll be absolutely detrimental, if not catastrophic, for the communities in which we live. The very way of life and our economy will be destroyed. Well, there's no good Brexit. Certainly, if there's any strength of partition, it'll be absolutely devastating. So the people come out in huge, huge numbers to make that message clear, that this will not be accepted.
The government has been accused of hiding behind figures instead of tackling the growing child homelessness crisis. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty has told the Dáil that the government is failing to focus on the people behind the statistics. 3,848 children were recorded homeless during the month of August this year, 20 in Donegal. Deputy Doherty says the harrowing image circulated this week of a five-year-old boy eating dinner from a sheet of cardboard in Dublin illustrates the dire need for action.
This has got a lot worse over the last 5 years, with a 365% increase. Now, they're all numbers, they're all statistics, but behind each of those numbers lies an individual, lies a child. And this week we were greeted with the photograph of young Sam, a five-year-old boy who's attending school, but a five-year-old boy who's homeless and who was forced to eat his dinner off a piece of cardboard on the street just last Tuesday night when the homeless services encountered him. This is the type of republic that Sam lives in. That's the real world that he and 4,000 other children live in. And this government has turned a blind eye to all of the solutions that we put forward, such as the Focus Ireland Amendment, such as introducing a rent freeze, such as doubling the amount that's required to build social and affordable houses. And instead, they try and spin the statistics in a way that doesn't give any comfort to these families or any party that's facing homelessness.
And these children are only starting out in life and they've already been let down effectively by the government.
Absolutely, and we've had far too many reports telling us that the scars that will be left on these children in terms of how they're being brought up, the isolation, the effects that this will have on them in their later years, like, this is intolerable, but yet society is tolerating this, and this government is not only tolerating it, but is actually responsible for creating it. And we have an industry now that is built around these. There are people that are profiting as a result of homelessness. You know, Sam isn't just alone. That's one five-year-old boy. We see a picture of him very clearly, a picture that's touched the hearts of anybody who's seen him. But we also have other children. We have a picture of a number of children outside of the GPO eating their dinner again, sitting on the street. The reason that this is because they are in emergency accommodation. When you're in hotels and hubs, you're not allowed to prepare or take in food with you. So families are forced into this circumstance.
The Junior Agriculture Minister is appealing to angry farmers to allow the Beef Market Task Force to begin its work. Its first meeting was due to take place on Monday but was called off after scuffles outside the Department of Agriculture. The task force was set up after weeks of protests outside meat factories as farmers called for higher prices for their animals. In the Dáil today, Minister of State Andrew Doyle was unable to say when the task force would resume.
So it appealed to everybody. The people who feel aggrieved at the way they were treated on Monday, the same as the people who didn't come up to the meeting, and to those who actually were outside preventing them. Let this task force get about its work, show the goodwill.
Andrea Branigan, the mother of Danielle McLaughlin, has hit out over a lack of progress and promises made to her over a year ago by the Taoiseach. Danielle was killed in India in 2017, and last September, Leah Radker met Miss Branigan and gave a commitment that a family liaison officer and counselling services for Danielle's siblings will be put in place. However, it's understood none of this has come to fruition as of yet. The Taoiseach also proposed Danielle's amendment, a change in law which would give support to families who have lost a loved one abroad. That too has been further delayed. Andrea told Greg Hughes that she feels that she is right back where she started.
There's times like I would get stuff, updates from the lawyer, but I would rather they would go through like somebody, they aren't fit that day to read it. Maybe I'm not fit that day, you know, to read it, and it does stress me out. But I know now, that's why I wanted a family liaison officer, so that there's somebody there that I can go and talk to. But they have never given me that. They gave me somebody from the embassy, a new person, after the meeting.
Yeah.
And on the 11th of September, which was exactly a year to the day after I met the Taoiseach, I got an email to say that I had actually the same person back that I had at the very start, that actually took a month to get my phone number right to contact me. And I have proof of that. She could not get my number. She was putting 087 instead of 0867.
Yeah, but there's no end of ways to contact you, Andrea, you know, if the will was there.
No, she was just absolutely, so she's actually contacted me now again to tell me that I've heard back again.
Mm. And is that some good news?
No, I've no trust in her.
Right.
I actually had somebody else before that, but they've left now and they've given me where I'm back, literally back where I started.
The Taoiseach's office has been contacted for comment. A motorist has been caught speeding at 223 kilometres per hour in a 100 kilometre per hour zone in South Donegal. The driver was clocked by a Go Safe van on the N15 at Ballintra and is one of the highest speed detections recorded nationally so far this year. The data has been released as part of a warning to people that Gardaí will be conducting speed enforcement operation Slow Down tomorrow from 7am for a 24-hour period. It's anticipated that a €2.5 million investment will drive Letterkenny Institute of Technology's ambition to become a university and intensify cross-border links. That allocation was made under the Higher Education Authority, with some €2 million being made available to progress the Connacht Ulster Alliance. Another €500,000 is being invested in LYIT as part of its deepening links with Ulster University and the Northwest College. Education Minister Joe McHugh is confident that this latest funding injection will further ambitious plans.
I think it's a culmination of all the work that's gone in over the last decade in terms of what LYIT is planning to do. They want to have a two-pronged approach. They're working very intensively on their cross-border partnership building, but they're also working and driving a process to ensure that LYIT gets university status along with Sligo and GMIT Galway to build up the Connacht Ulster Alliance. So that €2 million will go directly for the university status work, and secondly, the €500,000 will go for the collaboration, continued collaboration with our friends and neighbours across the border.
And these undoubtedly are quite ambitious plans, but plans that are very much achievable going into the future.
Certainly, and one of the things that that Paul Hannigan, the president, is very, very consistent about, he wants to get things right and do things right in the process to ensure we get to the destination of university status. And if you consider now in LYIT Letterkenny, you can do 2 years occupational therapy, 2 years physio, and finish off 2 years in Coventry. There's a lot of access programs, there's a lot of very, very intense and also very high standard in other degree subjects and postgrad qualifications as well. So I think LYIT is basically doing all the university stuff and everything but names. So it's important now when LYIT goes to places like China or India or America in the not too distant future, that they'll be able to say that we have a university here in the Northwest and we'll be looking for international students. So there's a bit of work to do, but this investment will ensure that that continues.
A number of people have been reported to Gardaí for faking applications to the fund set up for survivors of institutional abuse. Cara Nua has been asked by TDs and senators about how it monitors the money paid out. CEO Rachel Downes says there have been some cases of fraudulent claims, but not many.
So it would be something that we have looked at. We have reported some cases to the guards previously, but a very, very small amount. And what's been reported to us are what we have felt has been fraudulent behaviour, like very, very small.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure in Letterkenny. Christmas Club now open. Shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and time's the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with rugby, and Ireland head coach Joe Smith says he's picked the combinations that best serve beating the All Blacks in Saturday's Rugby World Cup quarter-final. There's three changes to the team for the quarter-final against New Zealand from the one that beat Samoa last week. Rory Best will captain the team for the 38th time, with Peter O'Mahony returning to the back row. Smith says has chosen 12 players who beat the All Blacks last November, but says there were tough calls to make.
Andrew Conway's been very good, as well as Jordan Lama. So the outside backs is a bit of a conundrum. And Geordie Murphy's versatility, the fact that I think he's 2 from 2 against the All Blacks. All those temptations that you factor in. Jean Klein, the impact he has in the engine room. So we've tried to add up as best we can, you know, the combinations we think that will best serve us in this particular fixture.
Meanwhile, New Zealand head coach Steve Hansen has said Ireland have a tenacious style of play. Cody Taylor is picked at hooker, while Jack Goodhue starts ahead of Sonny Bill Williams in midfield. In Gaelic games, Naofe Connell's Kieran Thompson knows the task ahead this weekend is huge. That's when his side clash with Gweedore in the Donegal Senior Championship final on Sunday. After a tight win over St Durans in the semi-final, Kieran hopes it will stand to them in the final. Naofe Connell have lost 4 of the 7 finals they've played since 2005, and 2 in the last 2 years. Thompson is looking to put one right on Sunday.
No, we've been privileged now to be in as many finals, you know, and I suppose we've lost a few of them now, but listen, it was top-class opposition we're playing against, but hopefully now we'll put one right now on Sunday.
Yeah, and obviously they don't come bigger than Guido, do they?
No, that's it. Listen, Guido have been phenomenal the last past year, you know, Donegal champions and Ulster champions as well, like, so they're going to be serious opposition.
Elsewhere, Mark Griffin has announced that he's taking a break from the Kerry senior football panel in the coming year. The 29-year-old has told the Irish Examiner that a combination of work commitments and his intention to travel next year have brought him to the decision. Griffin was a fringe member of the Kingdom squad, which reached this year's All-Ireland final. Moving on to soccer, and Dundalk winger Michael Duffy has been named SSE Electricity Player of the Month for September. The Derry native netted three times during the month in three different competitions to claim the award. His goals came in crucial games, which gave Dundalk the EA Sports Cup, clinched the Premier Division title and booked a place in the FAI Senior Cup final. It's the third time that the 25-year-old has been voted the monthly winner. Duffy did top the poll ahead of his teammate Chris Shields and Shamrock Rovers' Aaron Green. Elsewhere, the Ulster Senior League will be involved in a new cross-border competition that will see Donegal teams playing sides from the Northern Ireland Intermediate League. Oisin Kelly reports.
The draw for the new Northwest of Ulster Intermediate Cup will be conducted this coming Saturday. The six Ulster Senior League teams will be in the draw, along with the seven representatives of the NI Intermediate League. Ardstraw, Dungiven, Marrowfield Sky Blues, Maiden City, New Buildings United and Newton Strabane Athletic. The new competition is the first of its kind as a cross-border format at intermediate level. The draw will take place on Saturday at 4:30 in Dungiven, with the competition to get underway on the week ending November the 10th, with group games to take place. The competition will start with a group of six and a group of seven in the first phase.
In other news, four Bulgaria fans arrested for subjecting England players to racist abuse have been fined £443 and banned from sports events for 2 years. The 6-0 Euro 2020 qualifier win in Sofia on Monday was stopped twice in the first half following racist chanting by some supporters. And Sunderland have named Phil Parkinson as their new manager. The League One club sacked Jack Ross earlier this month after winning five of their first 11 league games. Parkinson resigned from Bolton in August with Wanderers struggling to field a side due to serious financial difficulties and bottom of the table having been deducted 12 points. And Villarreal and Atletico Madrid are seeking permission to play a league match in America this December. The clubs and La Liga have applied to the Spanish Football Federation to play the match at the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. It refused permission last year when Barcelona and Girona also tried to play in the USA. In golf this week in the European Tour, it's the French Open taking place. George Coetzee, he leads the way after shooting a 65 to sit in 6 under par. He's one clear of Richie Ramsey, Kurt Kitayama and Ryan Fox. Best of the Irish is Gavin Moynihan. He shot a 68 to sit in 3 under par. Paul Dunn had another disappointing day. He shot a 77 to sit on 6 over par. And on the PGA Tour this week, it's the CJ Cup 9 Bridges has been played. And leading the way is Ben Ahn. He shot a 64 to sit on 8 under par. Jaakko Niemann sits on a one shot off the lead on 7 under par. Graham McDowell, he shot a 68 to sit on 4 under par. In snooker, Mark Allen defeated Andy Lee by 4 frames to 0 to go through to the third round of the English Open in Crawley today. Breaks of 79 and 86 in the final two frames saw Allen move comfortably into the last 32. Finally, for this evening, coming up on the score this evening with Jeremy Doherty after 7 o'clock. There'll be more on this Sunday's county final. We'll also hear from Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan, Ulster Senior League Secretary Niall Callan, and the studio guest tonight will be Glenn Swally's Neil Gallagher and Terman's Johnny McCafferty. So join Jeremy Doherty for the score, which starts after the 7 o'clock news. Well, that's all from the sports desk for this evening. The next sport here on Highland will be Jeremy after 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Also, the news tomorrow morning after 8 o'clock. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, vigilance is being urged after a woman from the Northwest lost more than £20,000 in an online romance scam. The report was made to police on Tuesday. Catherine Gaffney has more.
It was reported that the Derry woman met the man who claimed to be a soldier online, and after a period of time he asked her for money, claiming his account was frozen. The con man subsequently persuaded the woman to give him her online banking details, which he used to send money to various individuals. The fraudster also persuaded the woman to give him other personal details so he could obtain further money from her. In total, the woman, who wishes to remain anonymous, lost just over £20,500. Inquiries continuing to establish what, if any, of this money can be recovered. In a statement, Chief Superintendent Simon Wall said that no matter how big or small the amount of money it is that a victim loses, every loss is felt by those targeted. However, this scam, where a victim has been swindled out of a significant amount of money, shows why it's so important for people to be vigilant.
And finally, a 57-year-old man arrested yesterday in the Gallia area of Derry by detectives from the PSNI's Organised Crime Branch investigating criminality linked to the INLA in the Northwest has been released following questioning. Police say the incident remains under investigation. The man has been released pending a report to the Public Prosecution Service for the offences of directing terrorism and membership of a proscribed organisation, namely the INLA. Weather now, most of the showers will die out early tonight and it will become dry for a time with clear spells. A few of the showers may develop later in the night with lowest temperatures of 2 to 6 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Donegal fishermen feel potential Brexit implications for this sector are being continuously ignored around the negotiating table. It comes as tensions are already reportedly on the rise at sea, with further warnings that there will be severe disruption for fishermen in the county post-Brexit. The government has been accused of hiding behind figures instead of tackling the growing child homelessness crisis. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty has told the Dáil that the government is failing to focus on the people behind the statistics. Andrea Branigan, the mother of Danielle McLaughlin, has hit out over a lack of progress and promises made to her over a year ago by the Taoiseach. Danielle was killed in India in 2017, and last September Leo Varadkar met Miss Branigan and gave a commitment that a family liaison officer and counselling services for Danielle's siblings would be put in place. However, it's understood none of this has come to fruition as of yet. And it's anticipated that a €2.5 million investment will drive Letterkenny Institute of Technology's ambition to become a university and intensify cross-border links. That allocation was made under the Higher Education Authority, with some €2 million being made available to progress the Connacht Ulster Alliance. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Thursday evening, October the 17th. The death has taken place of Bridie McDermott, née McCain, late of 51 Lisnafin Park, Strabane, and formerly of Legford Drum. Reposing at her daughter and son-in-law Geraldine and Liam Brown's home, Listillion Letterkenny, this evening from 7 o'clock. Fiona leaving her daughter's home on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount, Strabane at 10 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred in London of Cathy Ann Kerr, formerly Tubber Keen Dunlow. Remains will repose at her parents' home in Tubber Keen tomorrow evening from 6 o'clock. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock, house private from 10 p.m. until 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass on Sunday at 12 noon in St Cronus Church Dunlow, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Kathleen Grant, a Hilly Buncrana. Removal from McLaughlin's funeral home Buncrana at 6:30 this evening, going to her sister Eileen's residence, 32 Sleafsnacht, Buncrana. Funeral from there at 10:15 on Saturday morning, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Joe O'Donnell, Ballandrate, Bombeg, Gidore and Capri Ballybuffet. Remains reposing at his residence in Ballandrate, Bombeg, Gidore. Removal to St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, tomorrow evening for 7 o'clock Mass. Funeral Mass will take place at St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in Maharagallan Cemetery. And the death has taken place of Josephine Kelly, 129 Springhill Park, Strabane, and formerly of Dennett View, Burndennet. Remains reposing at her home. Fiona leaving her home tomorrow morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Family time plays from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m.